Hey, I'm Tammy Zadunik, your host of Lead Like a Girl, the feminine leadership podcast from the Well Collab. This is a space for honest, unfiltered conversations about leading with heart, courage, and emotional intelligence. I sit down with inspiring women to explore leadership beyond the hustle, grounded in equity, connection, and authenticity. Let's reimagine leadership together.
Well, I am so excited for today. I am so excited to have you here, my new friend.
Thank you, Tammy. It is so inspiring to be part of your podcast, because before I came here, I reviewed and listened to several women, and the caliber of women is just incredible. The accomplishments and the wisdom that they share, I wish I had more time to listen to them, but no. I can bike and listen to your podcast, and even when you came today, right? Like, I was listening to you. So it was just so amazing.
I know. I came to Kira's door, and she said, Tammy's here, and Tammy's here, because I was hugging her at the door, but then she had the podcast on with my voice speaking in her kitchen while she was making me breakfast. So I'm pretty spoiled.
Yeah, I'm quite delighted that I have you in my life, because what you bring to community, in my perspective, is this reminder that we are beautiful. We are beautiful, powerful, and need each other. And women community are so important, because we are operating in a system that wasn't built by us. Wasn't built with this mindset of, oh, what mothers will do. It's not. And so we will get to it. But my business, my purpose is all about empowering women who don't know that they're powerful. And I think that was so beautiful when you said, like, you know, my purpose is to reveal to a woman that she's beautiful. And you've done it. Like, remember my poem, like, you frame me so beautiful. And I did it for my birthday last summer. I'm like, I'm going to gift myself. And just, anyway, I am just so enjoying your community, and I feel part of it, and just looking forward to being useful and also serving it and kind of contributing. I have to do some few things to become an advisor, and I'm so looking forward to it. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. I'm so glad that you're here. We actually, Kira and I met through Okiki, through Fian, and she came up to us at a WESC event, and she said, Tammy, you're the happy creative, and you have the Well, and Kira is a happiness trainer. You need to meet each other. And I was like, perfect. Like, oh my goodness, who is this woman? Like, what is she into? What am I into? And we kind of did a quick exchange, I think, of, you shared a bit with me, but then we did a quick exchange of numbers. And I have a system. I take the picture of the card so that I don't forget. And then I make sure I text or email the next day, because it's really important to me not just to say, oh yeah, can I have your card? But I actually want to follow through and connect with people, because I know if someone brings someone to me, that's for a reason, and I trust that intention. And thank you for saying all those wonderful things about the Well as well. The women at the Well are beautiful and they are wise. And you're right, it's, we don't always know it. We don't always understand how much wisdom we have in us. But I believe all women are wise because of our experiences, because of our cycles. And we just need to have the right platform or space to show it and to share it. So what I try to do here on the podcast is just provide a space where I can bring out and amplify the things you care about. So I've asked Kira if it's okay if she gives a little intro as to who she is. And if I think you miss anything, I'll put it in at the end. But I'd love to hear a little bit about who you are. And then we have a special little treat we're going to do. But let's start with who you are. Raha John.
Well, it is so hard to answer to that question, because I'm learning who I am, and I am multi-dimensional, multi-passionate energy being. I love everybody. And like, I have to kind of pause and say, okay, I am human. That's my challenge. Sometimes I forget I'm human. but I am human. And I, as you hear me, I wasn't born in Canada. I came to Canada in 2003, and my life was so incredible in Canada because I followed my husband. My husband sponsored me as a permanent resident, and I came to Canada, and I realized, oh my God, I'm like newborn. Like, before Canada, I was working for Minister of Finance, from Parliament. I had, like, career and education and everything. Network, family. I left everything. And it's, like, so refreshing, but also traumatizing. You know, so it's like I reinvented myself in Canada. And that's kind of a gift, but also not everybody can do it. And so that's why I always have to remember, like, sometimes some women who are not born in Canada, they forget. I'm like, darling, you're newborn here. Like, you're pretty much newborn because whatever you've done in the past, before Canada, nobody knows about it. So you have to reinvent yourself here because for whatever reason, you end up here. So I am in Saskatoon because of University of Saskatchewan. I have my degree in engineering pre-Canada. I am a mechanical engineer. I also did my master's in finance and economics pre-Canada. And then I did the same thing, not same, but it's a little bit different, economics, environmental economics. And then right now I work as a IT manager for Vet College at the university. And I am also commute on my bike year-round, and that's part of my mental health and also, like, being so friendly to my body because without exercise, I lose myself, so I have to exercise. I do every day pretty much. I swim twice a week. I bike 12 kilometers a day, 6 kilometers to university and back. I am a skier. I became a really good skier, by the way. And I didn't have sport in my life previously. Like, my parents were really non-sportive because, you know, I grew up in Kyrgyzstan, which is kind of, interestingly enough, sport wasn't part of it. Like, sport was only for, I don't know, not for Kyrgyz people, kind of. Sport wasn't part of our life. And then when I married my partner, Robert, he's like, you need to learn how to ski, you need to do the day. But before that, I already was a swimmer. And yeah, so I am multi-passionate. And I think some people have problem with that because they're like, we were everywhere. Like, yeah, I'm everywhere. So recently, talking about me being multi-passionate is that my journey to knowing myself brought me to Thai massage. And so now I am practicum in Thai massage and I'm loving it. And it's reminding me how much gift my mom gave to me because my mom was a energy healer. And I didn't realize that when I was growing up. Like, people used to come to her and then pregnant women come with her, asking her, like, can you make sure that my baby is in the right position? And then my mom would do massage and some interesting exercises. And I have no idea where she learned that. I seriously don't. And so now when I'm doing my massage, I close my eyes and I'm honoring my mom. And it's so beautiful. Oh my God. And it's so interesting that my master, who's teaching me how to be a good Thai massage therapist, he also learned his Thai massage from a blind massage. Like, he learned that in Thailand. And so it's interesting that when we close our eyes, we, I think, maybe deeper connection. So yeah, I am enjoying that. I know that I value my body so much, so more than ever. Like, I'm 53 now, and I don't know why it takes us so long to know that. But yeah, I love everybody. And sometimes people have not so comfortable with it that I love people. And I'm so curious as well. And thanks to my curiosity, I'm in Canada.
Yeah, a few things that you mentioned there I want to touch on. So I think that I relate to the piece about loving people and that makes people uncomfortable. I actually had a conversation with a really good friend of mine, and I said, why is this, like, the specific type of woman, this more the masculine energy, masculine leader woman who's like top of corporate, why does she seem to not like me? Like, and this, I'm going to be fully transparent. This definitely would come from a place of like wanting to be approved of by them with the well, like with this business, wanting them to be there to share their voice and also their experiences working in a predominantly male field. And I just said, like, why is this, what am I doing wrong? Or what is it about me? And she said, you are the most vulnerable person I've ever met. And you love people so openly and wholeheartedly. It is very scary for people who are very closed off to be around someone like that. It kind of brings up all of their own vulnerabilities and they don't, that they've been shoving down for so long. She's like, you need to tread lightly and gently with them. Mm. Because I thought they didn't like me and I felt insecure around them, when it's kind of the opposite. I'm almost giving that back to them then. But instead, what I realize, and this is going to come later with you talking about how we think and the thought, how important our thoughts are, actually, I just need to just continually extend that love and grace towards them and be gentle. I thought that was so lovely. I wanted to share that. But also, why do you think people either struggle with you being loving or multi-passionate? You mentioned those, and I think that's so important because so many women are multi-passionate. And we feel bad about it. We feel like we have to pick one thing because the pressure of the, maybe it's the masculine leadership model, I don't know, the systems want us to pick one thing.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's exactly what it is. The system that we are operating is built on masculine energy with masculine mindset. And that's why women are struggling. And talking about the loving peace. Love is everywhere. Like, love is everywhere, and love is the basis of love. Love is the basis of life, right? And so it is there, and everybody wants to be loved, but it's because of upbringing, limiting beliefs, or certain structure, or the formula they got to there because they did this, this, this. They think that that has to be it for you too. Because you know how many, I have at least 3 cases when person that I was reporting told me, I'm so scared of you.
What?
Yes.
Because?
I don't know. Like, I was in corporate world and few leaders told me, like, I'm so scared of you, Kira. Like, you scare me.
I know why.
And I'm like, I was like, I wasn't even taking, like, I didn't even get a clue, right? And I pushed on. But if I knew what I know now, if I was emotionally intelligent, and I'm not saying I learn everything from the emotional intelligence, but if I just trust my gut, you know, like in every interview like I had, like even that job that I was getting in corporate world, like at that interview, I felt like she needs love. Like, but she was my hiring director, right? So she hired me and then it was amazing. And then I was showing my wings and I was like networking and I'm connecting with other people where I wasn't supposed to be connecting. Apparently, like, you would wonder, like, what? Because I was saving so much money. And I'm, for example, in the corporate world, a lot of suppliers and vendors come to you, like, you need to hire somebody, right? And they thrive on your dysfunction. You know that? They thrive on the dysfunction of organization because their goal is not to save you money. Their goal is to take advantage of. And so, like, in my corporate career, I saved so much money. Like, I would just connect. Like, why this department is paying for this subscription? This department is paying this subscription. And you said in your book that you have corporate subscription. Why are you paying 2 different subscriptions?
So this to me is actually the power of multitasking. Like, yeah. Because multitasking, I think, for women, isn't doing 2 things at once. It's being able to look at the larger picture of the entire structure, the entire system, our entire life. Like, as a woman, I can be, like, I think of my career, I can be, like, running naked in the river, taking photos of women. I can be speaking in front of a large group of people, leading a team, getting down the finances right down. I am whole. I am full. I am not one thing. I'm not just working on the finances. So you're able to, this is the power, I think, of women that we've really lost in corporate, is the power of our minds to look at everything at once.
You know what's this important to say? That stay in your lane, Kira. Stay in your lane. Like, this is the advice.
No.
Stay in your lane. And sometimes you have to stay in your lane because you're in the system that, you know, I belong to this silo. I belong to this silo. And you know, one time I was just so shocked. Like, I moved from one silo to another silo. And the leader of one silo stopped talking to me because I moved away from his silo. That is real, right? That is, like, toxic. That is incredibly shocking and confusing for me. I was young. I didn't know. I'm like, wow. But then it gave me an idea. Good thing I left.
Good thing you left.
Right?
But this is what I was going to say. I know why people would struggle with you, because you tell the truth. So to me, that is one of the highest values, is honesty and integrity. And you tell the truth, and you're not worried about telling the truth to people with power. I think that's why people are afraid of you, is because you are willing to say the thing. And to you, it's not even, you're just telling the truth. To you, it's not anything, there's nothing, no negative association to that. But for other people, they don't want to know, they can't handle the truth, Kira.
Like, talking about one of the people who told me that they're scared of me was my dad as well. My dad says, oh my God, darling, you just so scare me. And now I know why. Like, he didn't know that it's Canada, or there's, like, his daughter could be, like, in different countries. Like, see, like, as a child, I had so much energy. And this multi-passionate and then loving has been always with me. And I think that brought me to Canada, because I trusted universe, like, you know. And my partner is also loving, so I just so feel blessed that I have a partner like my husband Robert, and we are best friends, and we rely on each other, and we are growing together, and we have so much fun. But that's the thing, like, I'm like, in, if you are such a powerful person, you have weaknesses, right? And so you need somebody who can tell you that, oh my God, this was too much for you. Or like, why you have so much on your plate? Reduce it. And as you said, like, we are very multi-passionate, but also we need to create boundaries. And that's how, why we need masculine energy. You need structure, structure, structure. Because, like, even you're creating a new structure.
You do. It allows you to be, I think structure allows you to have freedom.
Yes.
Because within that structure, like, I was even just saying, so we had breakfast ahead of time, and I was like saying to Robert how I have a really hard time just like being in the moment, and I'm always looking to just be in the moment. And I will carve out a structure of time within that 4 hours. I can just set an alarm, and I don't have to like look at the time, and I don't have anyone needing anything of me, and I can just be creative. But I know when that alarm goes off, I might have to go do school pickup.
Yeah.
I might have to make supper. I might have to like tend to the choices I've made in life. And I want those choices, and I want the reward from those choices, but I also want my creative freedom time. So you're right. Like, and I think you're good at reminding me about the structure. Like, it's okay, Tammy, like, bring in the structure, have the timer, do so that everyone gets what they need within the space or the time.
Because time is such an important factor, because, you know, as a human beings, we have only maximum 100-something years in this form. And so, like, if you use that analogy today, you have only 24 hours, and you have to sleep, you have to eat, you have to exercise. And so time is very important. However, you cannot be, I use this word, bullied by time. You need to kind of recognize, yeah, there is a pressure, but every time I use, it's called like Einstein time. Like, I don't know where I learned. I think I learned from my mentor, business analyst mentor, Laura. And she taught me like Einstein time. That means it's like every time you're stressing out, you tell yourself, I'm in the right time, in the right place, and doing the right thing. And that gives incredible calmness. Like, even I'm late to my meeting, now I'm less apologetic. because I was doing something else. I was just coming from another meeting.
Right? That was important.
That was important. The other was important. So now I'm late here because of whatever. Like, some people who organize meetings, they don't know that I'm coming from another meeting. And so I don't owe any apology. From the politeness perspective, yes, I apologize that I'm disturbing the meeting. But in the deep, deep sense, hey, I'm in the right place, doing the right thing and right time. So before go ahead, I want to also mention that I am a business analyst, and which is so incredible, asking questions that comes from business analysis. So as an IT manager, I always use business analysis. And even in my own business, I use that. It's kind of incredible that business analysis is not only about business, it's also analyzing your life. But before we go too far, let's do this every morning and every night. I pick card. And
okay.
This card is from Louise Hay. If you know her, she's incredible. I call her my spiritual grandmother. Louise Hay, she was incredible, transformational leader. And I think a lot of people learn from her. She died. She was 90 years old. She died in 2018 or 2019. But she's my spiritual grandmother. So I got her card, I think during pandemic, actually. And so I have this card. Every morning I pick a card. So Tammy, pick your card.
I was born to enjoy life.
Amazing, right?
Ah, that's so me. Okay. I am a beloved child of the universe and have been given everything I need for every experience I shall have.
Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine if every woman will have that belief?
And believe that. Like, yeah. Believe it.
Believe it.
I was born. I know I was born to enjoy life. I don't just believe that. I actually, like, embody that.
And
then
what is
that.
The miracle of this situation that you pick out of what? How many cards you pick that?
Yeah, and I really closed my eyes and took a breath because I'm like, I'm going to do that. I'm going to trust my intuition on which card to grab. So I'm going to put it beside me for now while we record the podcast.
Okay, let's
I'll take
me.
A little picture. Yeah. Oh, now I'm going to get you to pull mine.
And
okay.
Then I do it. Like,
okay.
I will,
oh, I love
I will
this
follow
so much.
Like,
okay.
Brazil, and I pick a card for myself for today. So my card is with affirmations. I claim my inner power. No matter what I choose to believe or say, the universe always says yes to me. Therefore, I choose only positive thoughts and words. And I think this is like incredible segue to words. I think I really want to share about power of words.
Let's do it.
Because, you know, my transformation started, I think, just before pandemic. But I just started to play around with words. There was this incredible colleague, he's still in Saskatoon, and he told me, like, read this book, Kira. It's called Four Agreements. And in those four agreements, one agreement you make with yourself, you make four agreements with yourself, is one is be impeccable with your words. And then do not assume and do your best and don't take anyone personally. This, like, don't take anyone personally, I apply every day, right? And so power of words comes from, like, how are you describing yourself? What do you say about yourself to others? How many times do you complain about life? Guess what? If you continue complaining about your life, then you're creating, like, every word you take out from your mouth will create something, because words are energy, right? And so it comes from my dad as well. Like, when I'm recognizing, it's like, oh my God, my dad used to tell me, like, word is energy. You do it and it's already out and then you cannot return it. So be careful with your words, right? Here I am, like, preaching about words because my son, like, complaining, I'm tired. And honey, if you say tired, that you'll be always tired. Instead of saying, maybe don't say nothing. You know, like we say, like, if you have nothing to say, just don't say. And it's so true. Like, silence is the gold sometimes.
I like that, though, because it's intentional about choosing your words. And understanding that when you say something to someone else, you're either blessing or cursing them, in a sense. You are. And I think about that so interesting, too, the importance of naming. I never knew that when my kids were little. I love my kids' names. But I never thought about that. Because I think had I thought about that, I would have been like, wow, I'm going to say this word like thousands upon thousands of times over this person. Is this a message I want to be declaring over them? So it is interesting when you know it this way. I think I come from knowing it from like a Christian perspective, which to me felt more like they were just telling me what to do. But this is like, I understand it when you talk about it, and we talk about it with the universe. And even, you know, you need to speak the thing into reality. So you need to say it before it's true. You need to believe it before it happens. Like, don't say, I can't afford it.
Never, never. Don't say that.
Don't ever say that. The universe will prove it true.
Yes.
Say, I have different priorities, or I have divinely, the money meant for me is coming towards me.
Yeah.
Something like that, like positive, bringing it towards you. Yeah. I have different priorities, because that's the truth.
That's the truth.
If you're not buying something, you have different priorities.
Yeah. Like, say, you know, $1 million dress. And I'm just being kind of crazy here, saying $1 million dress. Say like, yes, it's beautiful, but your priorities are pay rent and then, you know, raise your kids. And that's true.
Yeah.
And not everybody needs that $1 million dress, right? So, but there is some people who really think that's important for them. Good for them.
Great.
However, just don't be victimized about money, I guess. That's I think I see a lot of people do that, like, say that word, I cannot afford it. I'm like, oh, I cannot stand that. But that's they're on their own journey. And so I transform my life by choosing right words about myself.
So can you give me some examples?
For example, are you busy, are you busy? I'm like, you know, I can shuffle my schedule around. I'm my own boss. Like, seriously, like, I can alternate. And sometimes people invite me to certain meetings. I cannot change that. But I say to everybody, I am my own boss. I am really, truly my own boss, because I think we are truly masters of our destiny. I master my own destiny. And I want to teach that to anyone who is willing to transform their life. You know, maybe before pandemic, I realized, wow, this is not what I want. And so I started saying things like, it's not like I'm busy. I'm needed everywhere. Mm-hmm. Right? It is true. I'm needed everywhere. My opinions are matter. Therefore, people need me. Therefore, I'm not available that time. We can be all busy, but busy with what?
Yeah, I like the idea of it being that I'm needed. And I also like the idea, I like applying choice to it. And this is something that I definitely have had, not arguments, but tension with people in my life around. You know, I've always been an entrepreneur. I've had a very short amount of time where I was expected to be somewhere at a certain time, very few years in my early 20s. Other than that, it's been my choice, my schedule. But I really have noticed that everyone has much more choice and flexibility than they believe they have. And it's about believing it and believing that you're making a choice. So, you know, your boss is not making you go to work today.
No.
You are choosing to reap the benefits of that job, and you're choosing to go, and you're choosing to not be an entrepreneur, or you're choosing, but it's always a choice. That's not forced upon you. You might have to earn money to pay bills and to feed yourself. Yeah. But the choice of how you do that and how much you earn.
Yeah, I want to touch base on two things.
Yes.
First of all, the words, and how the number one happiness principle is the three things: no complaining, no shaming, and no blaming. Like, when I apply that everywhere, it is like incredible. I wanna complain, but then I discipline, like, I don't know what I don't know. And therefore, I respect what is. And I think it's merely for this as isness is my business. Like, if this person is happen to be leader that I don't like, instead of complaining, what I don't know. Like, seriously, like, how, like, people have different perspectives, different priorities, different privileges, different traumas that are unseen to me. So instead of judging, I say, what do I know? What I do not know? And let's frame it and let's just give it the time. Like say, like at work, for example, I get like emails that sometimes triggers me. And instead of replying right away, I say, let's sleep on it.
What is it that I don't know?
What is it that I don't know? Like, you know, some at work, for example, you don't love everybody. Sometimes you're like, oh, I cannot stand this. But then you have to deep down saying what you don't stand about this person. You literally don't know anything about it. So like, let's deep in and say, how do I help myself? And let's reframe it. Like, instead of continuing emailing, just say, hey, let's have a talk. Let's have a meeting, focus conversation, because that's what is missing. Focus is missing, right? Because we are so bombarded by information. We are like working maybe more than we needed, but we are mostly maybe exhausted, right? So that thing about words, self-appreciation and not saying negative things about yourself, about your life, right? How many people I hear, oh, crazy busy, crazy busy, crazy busy. Of course, your life will be crazy busy versus don't say nothing. Like I accumulated so much responsibilities right now, I have to say no, sorry. And no is the best word in the world. You know that? No is the best word because you can say beautifully. You can say no beautifully. Mary Forleo has this like, get on into the no train. Like, this is incredible. What I'm learning from her, I got into her business school training, and she has this no train thing.
The no train?
No train. So, like, you decide what is important right now. And that's how I get what I achieve. Like, for example, what is important right now? For me, is this important? So how much time I'm going to dedicate for it? 15 minutes a night. Like, that's only I can afford. 15 minutes a night. And then you see, like, within 3 months, oh, my God, you accomplished.
Like, I can tell you, dedicating 15 minutes a night to something important to you is a lot of time.
Yeah.
It adds up. It makes a huge difference in your life.
So, and then say no to things that is not important. Because if you don't say no, oh, my God, like, you will be everything and everything to everybody, but you will forget about yourself. And self-care is so important. And self-care... when you self-care, self-awareness grows, right? Like, and that's why what I'm learning and listening to amazing women that you interviewed in your podcast, every woman, I think, talked about self-awareness, you know?
Yeah, self-awareness, we were talking about, is the number one most important thing in leadership.
Yes,
it is. And definitely is. Feminine leadership. It's self-awareness, which requires emotional intelligence. I do want to talk a little bit about, because it's always on my mind, but what women want. This idea of what do women want? And I posted something on The Well this week, and it had been on my mind for so long. And I think the way I think about things is always coming from this positive lens, this very, joy-filled. And it just was like cracking me up that I kept thinking, what is the thing men do the most that women don't do? And then the next slide said, whatever they want. But I wasn't trying to insult men. Mm-hmm. I actually think that women need to do whatever they want. And when we talk about that, it could be turned selfish. Like, oh, they're going to ignore their kids and run away. And that's not what women want.
No.
Knowing what you want requires knowing your values. And I did want you to share a little bit about values, because I think that's something really important to you and I. And you do talk a lot about your values, and you're very steadfast in them. And when I speak about what do women want, I'm not talking surface level. I'm talking deep. What is the most important thing in your life? And then that causes you to choose your time and your words very carefully. So can you share a little bit about your values and where that's led you?
Like, my value, like since my childhood, I always was connected to nature. Like, nature, harmony with nature. Spending time alone was so important for me. And now, when our prime minister wrote a book about values. It's so incredible. Everybody talks about values now. He big, like, giant book, like, huge. I'm reading it. And so he's explaining where this program came, or where this policy came, where this economic belief came from, what the fathers of this were thinking at that time, like, I mean, before Christ. And, like, it's an incredible book. Like, it's just so interesting that he decided to write that book. And now we're all talking about values, right? It's and so amazing.
He must have wrote this book years ago.
Yeah, it was 2020.
Okay, and, but somehow I didn't read it.
Yeah, I cannot. I bought in 2020. And now, because he's prime minister, I'm reading it.
Everyone's going to be buying this book now.
Yeah. And my values came from, like, what I value. I value skiing. I value staying fit and mental health. And, you know, that's why, like, I'm so blessed that my husband and I have the same value system. And maybe that's why we've connected. Like, he grew up in Canada. I was in Kyrgyzstan. And so when we started emailing, we quickly realized we have, like, same core values, like nature and responsibility before nature. Like, I'm willing to, it's not even hard, like, to bike in wintertime. People seem like, oh my God, it must be hard. No, it is my value. Like, here I am exercising.
I want to give some background. Correct me if I'm wrong, you have been committed to a carless lifestyle with bike. So using your bike as your, and walking as, like, your main modes of transportation for 17 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In
so
Saskatoon.
I think that's incredible. In Saskatoon. Yeah. Okay. So it can be done in minus 40. So keep talking a little bit about that, because people do think, how do you do that? It's too cold.
Yeah, like, some people really have serious issues. Like, they cannot be cold. But mostly it's, like, really belief system. And most importantly, marketing. Because in North America, we believe that success is driving a car. And for me, it's not. Because driving a car is completely the opposite. Your expenses are high. You become dependent on traffic. Like, most of the time when I used to come to work, like when I was in corporate world, people would spend at least 15, 20 minutes complaining about the traffic. Me? I'm on the Western Trail, looking at the birds and hugging my favorite tree. And, you know, like, I can be biking with my eyes closed if I want to, right? Like, I'm super safe with nature. And so, like, man, people get so wrong, like, because we have the success. Okay, get your 16 years old driving license. Boom, you just push them into traffic, like, stressful lifestyle.
It is very stressful.
And then the expenses, there's, like, statistics how much money you spend on your car. Like, at least, what did they say, like, $30,000 a year?
It's also, it becomes about your, what is the word? Like, whether you're rich or poor, like the...
Yeah, and then, like, I totally now I understand why a woman has to drive, because we are given so much responsibility. Like, a woman have to cook and then take care of the kids and then daycare, and the system is not helping women, right? No. Like, in France, you know, like, 3 years, if you quit your job because of your maternity leave, the job waits for you for 3 years. And that was the same for my, in Kyrgyzstan, like, we were under Soviet system, that was given to women. But here, like, hardly, like, what, 18 months? And then...
Well, I had nothing. I took 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Because I'm an entrepreneur, and there is zero support if you're an entrepreneur.
This is how I want to talk about economics. Like,
yeah,
I'm an economist. Like, I came to Saskatoon to do my master's in economics. I finished my economics degree in 2012. And I was depressed. Because I was like, wow, like, I was working so hard. Deadline, right? I lost connection with my soul. And that kind of woke me up, because, like, okay, like, in economics, in traditional economics, we don't value environment. And then environmental economics, trying to value environment, like, for example, carbon tax and all this hype about this, which Mark Carney canceled, which, funny, right? But that's what he did. Like, okay, I'm going to be this priest that, like, whatever you argue, I'm going to get rid of it. and we stop arguing about it. But in economics, we do not, like, in, it's called like profit maximizing formula.
Right.
In profit maximizing formula, there's input. Input is like labor and tools and resources. But environment is like so, as if it was like always like this.
Well, the environment doesn't cause profit maximizing.
It,
like they in the economy, they wouldn't look at that as something that is.
But it's so important. Like say, sure. Like if it was, say, like if I was making ice cream and the air is not good, how on earth I'm going to sell my ice cream? Nobody will come. Like so, this is kind of a big awakening moment for me. Was like, wow, the economics itself is a problem.
Yeah,
because our desire to have more got us to the level that we are so bombarded by stuff that we don't even value. For example, if you live in Canada, United States, maybe Europe, your life is valued because of insurance, right? Your life is valued. But if you live in Afghanistan or countries they don't have a system for valuing life, your life is not important. So it's like system itself is kind of not valuing life in some sense. And so, like, if you produce pen, that is part of the GDP. But I always challenge my economist friends and colleagues, why don't we chase happiness? Like, let's imagine that we, as a community, figure out what is important for Saskatoon. What happiness, happy community look like in Saskatoon? And let's chase that dream versus, like, we need to be this, or like we need to produce this much, we need to have this many jobs. Are we asking, are those jobs a happy jobs? So it's anyway, like this incredible book that I can highly, highly recommend called Donuts Economics. And it's written by a woman, economist woman. And she's saying, you know, instead of linear, because the GDP is all linear economics, right? If we create circular economics, if we incorporate natural limits into our economic system, then we are really, really serving the community, serving what's valuable for us as life, as humans. So anyway, there is so much literature coming out now. Donuts Economics by Kate Rowers.
What's it called? What's it?
Donuts Economics.
Donuts? Oh, like a circle.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that is so my jam. Like everything you're talking about. Do you know Jennifer Armbrust?
I think you shared previously.
She does the feminine economy. Everything you're talking about, like you and her would be like, I mean, she lives in the States. Maybe, I think you might meet her someday.
Yeah.
I think you and her really are in a lot in alignment in what you're talking about. And I also find it so fascinating when people get pulled into like a study of a certain topic and actually in order to like almost just want to flip it upside down. So you're so passionate about economics, but like not in the way that traditional economics is taught. Like you're actually flipping it upside down, which is so appealing to me because when you talk about, do you know how criticized I get? People laugh at me. I have had people laugh in my face that I'm called the happy creative.
Wow. Because we are scared of being happy because we don't even know what makes us happy, right?
We don't know what happy means.
Yeah.
We think it's superficial.
Hmm.
So people will say, well, instead of happy, joy. And I'm like, listen, if you look for a job that makes you happy, and is healthy and moral, and let's just put those things aside, you're not going to fail yourself in your life.
No. And that's the thing, like when you know yourself, when you know what you want,
you have when to
you recognize
yourself.
What system wants from you and what you can pick and choose from system. Like, yeah, if university is important for you, go get educated. But don't go to university just because it is important for your parents. Don't.
No, I knew from a young age. Do you know what my dad said to me? This is why I'm the happy creative. This is why I named myself that. Because my dad said, do what makes you happy in life and you will not depart from it.
Yeah.
Or you will always be happy. Follow what makes you happy. My dad has been a mechanic since he was born. He's been tinkering on cars. He put an engine on a bike. So he is like obsessed with like old cars. He has all his buddies come in. They bring their like 30s car, their 40s car, and he fixes them and gets them back working for them. And this, it's like art. And everything in my life has always been compared to cars. So, you know, if I said like, Dad, you know, do I look okay? How's this outfit? And he'll say, from an arm's length, you're perfect. because that's how they measure a car. So it's from an arm's length. So no, honey, you're not perfect, but like from an arm's length, you are. Like, I just think my dad is so adorable. So his whole life has never been about how much money can I make? How can I guarantee a retirement? How can I have all these things? He was like, what makes me happy? Cars. So not in the way, I know it's kind of ironic that we're talking about like cars, but not in the way that we talk about like wealth and riches and status with cars, but like in a way that it's like cars are his art. It's like a painting for him.
Car is an art. Like when you really truly use that for what was that was created for. Like what's happening now is that we are building cities for cars, not for humans. And that's the big thing.
That's fascinating, isn't it? So interesting just to think about how, and I love to think about how different things could be.
Yes.
If just the leadership model was just different, the priorities were just shifted.
So imagine like workplace where leaders are self-aware. Imagine the workplace where neurodivergency is allowed and is like biggest economist, journalist saying, you know, adjust your workplace for ADHD. Or like motherhood is really valued in the economic sense. Like say I'm a mother and my child is so amazingly successful, I am going to deliver incredible thing for economy, right? But if my child is not well, then I'm going to be like load on economy, right? So that's why motherhood is so important. We need to value motherhood. We need to value happy childhood. We need to make happiness first economy.
So how do we do that? I mean, I totally agree with you. My mother-in-law always says, you want to heal the world, you love the children, which means caring for the mothers. The only way the children are being loved is if we're caring for the mothering in terms of like, it doesn't have to be the person who birthed the child, but the people who are the caregivers who are mothering the children. How do we care for them?
I guess the recognition that system is not perfect.
Right.
And do not blame the past. However, what it takes from you, individual human being, make yourself happy and then serve people who depend on you, like which is family or maybe community or maybe parents or sisters, and then go from there. And don't get me wrong, sometimes family could be really challenging, right?
Yeah.
Because if there's some kind of dysfunction happening or like control, then happiness is not possible. Happiness is not control. Happiness is freedom, it's creativity, it's like showing like your talents, but control, it's just hurtingly. And that's why a lot of people are scared of money, because like if you think of the history of money in North America, it's been like control, like, you know, you go and domination becomes like kind of a underlining foundational goal. Versus like, what if the goal was happiness, happiness of community? And talking about that, you know, like in the Maslow hierarchy, they are talking like self-actualization. Recently, I learned that it wasn't self-actualization. It was community actualization. Did you know that?
It was what?
Community actualization. What is the potential of our community? What is the highest potential of Saskatoon? What is the highest potential of the world? Right? Like, if you think that way, then you're like, wow. Because like, what is the highest potential of our relationship?
Yeah.
And what is the highest potential of me? Like, if I'm so curious about myself, what is my highest potential? And like every morning when I meditate, like meditation been incredibly transformative for me. And I highly recommend everybody. And even my family laugh at me. Like somebody gets sick, like, did you meditate? Like they just laugh at me. But it's true. Like, ask me when I took last time Tylenol. April 2018. Because, like, I figured out, like, my body is in the most intelligent thing in the world.
Yeah.
And I connected my body, and I breathe. Like, okay, like, I can feel, like a flu coming. And I just sit down, and I breathe in, and I just say all kind of affirmations. And then next thing I know, I'm okay. Or like if I miss that point, then I get sick.
Sure. No,
one thing, like I was supposed to be presenting in the conference in Regina. I was part of the business economist. It's called Canadian Association of Business Economists. So I was supposed to present about carbon tax way back in Regina. And so I could not afford being sick. And I was in Ottawa. And then I feel like I'm getting sick. And so I was Googling how not to get sick. And then it was so much material. Like you meditate, you had a hot bath, and like it's so much value, right? But you have to ask this question, like instead of saying how to get healed, I ask how not to get sick.
Right.
Like the most important thing, questioning. How are you asking questions?
Asking the right question.
And so like I want to teach everybody, like ask beautiful questions. What is possible for me?
Yeah.
What is the highest potential of my introverted child? What is my highest potential of my marriage? What is my highest potential of this relationship? And of course, sometimes you have to let it go because sometimes you cannot help others. Like everybody has to go through their path. But that's my challenge to everybody. Like, what is your highest potential?
So when you work as a happiness trainer, which I don't know that everyone knows you do that, but what is like, that is that where a lot of that work comes into, like asking people these questions?
Yeah, like I just create a proposal and say, okay, what is your goal? Yeah. And some goals are like so simple. I want to be a good mother. Like, oh my God, it's so simple. Somebody like, I want to have like a job by the end of this. I'm like, okay. And then when I'm helping others, their goal become my goal. And for me as a networking person, it's so easy. Like I bring them into my mission, like meetings. I introduce that person. I invite them for a picnic. Anyway, like when I'm working one-on-one, I truly, really, really honestly say, okay, what is your goal? Like today we are starting to work with you in September 2024. This proposal is for a year. And by the end of August 2024, where do you want to be?
Mm, I love that
visual,
structure.
Visual, right?
Structure, visual, and then it allows for that flow to come in and the healing and the universe and everything to come in and do its work. You've made it clear. You've put it out there in a beautiful way.
And beautiful questions.
Beautiful questions.
We have so much beauty within, you know, like just beautiful questions because we are all kind of coming out of this imperfect system. And we are working towards better systems. And I think future is so bright.
Yeah, I feel the same.
Yeah.
I always feel that way. I feel excited.
I am excited.
Yeah.
I am excited. The, you know, it's just you need to know what you want and track what you're achieving.
Mm.
And that's what I help people like to do. Like, write down where do you want to be next year, this time. Mm-hmm. Just breathe in and write down and then track. What is working out? What is not working out? And like, I am so ambitious some days. Like, I have to say, my goodness, I laugh at myself. But those ambitions are kind of guidance where you want to be. And then like, oh my God, I need 100 steps. I said that I need 20 steps, but apparently 100 steps. But they're still divided, right? Like, you can divide, okay. I saw that I can achieve it within 3 years. But sometimes you can achieve it in 2 years or 10 years. And yeah. Be so compassionate about yourself.
I think that you taught me that too in January when we had that session where we did the planning. And I think I had limited myself up until then. I thought that unless I knew I was going to achieve it, I wouldn't put it down as a goal. But you taught me that what is possible, what is the highest potential, put that down. And then look at that. That's your goal. But wherever you get to is fantastic. That's yeah. Where you're supposed to be. And one of my things I wanted to do, one of my goals was to have these creative sessions, to be more creative in my photography. I felt like I'd really kind of let that slide for the well and let the well become more important to me than my own soul's creative yearning to create. And I looked back in my folders of photos and I hadn't had a really creative session for like 7 years or 6 years. And I had creative sessions within clients, but not just for me. So the last thing that I'd had was the river sessions in 2024 and then the art show. And it really sparked something in me. And I committed to doing like 5 or 6 creative sessions this year. And it's almost June and I have done 3 or 4 already.
And that's perfect, right? And
I'm so happy. Yeah. I'm so happy.
Because sometimes we plan. And most important thing, you have to say this or something better.
This or something better.
Right? This or something better. Like you plan this.
Or something better.
Don't be hard on yourself because universe had better plans for you.
Yep. Yes.
Especially
yes.
This constant connection to something unknown is so empowering versus fearful.
Yeah. What do you think about regret?
Well, regrets are real. However, they are really unproductive, similar to guilt.
Very unproductive. I agree with you.
Right? Yeah. Like, say, like, I've done something stupid, and then, like, okay, you just have to forgive yourself because you've done it because you didn't know that.
And you can learn from, I think it's information. I feel like regret, guilt, any of those things that you start to feel, fear, anger, it's information. Okay, so I'm feeling this. Why? What's really going on?
Because the decision that you made that time was made because you knew that much. But now you know better. Move on. Because like in Ted Lasso, you were talking about, it's incredible. Like, remember that 10-second rule?
Tell me it again.
10-second rule. Like, we are humans, and so because we have memories and we kind of dwell in the past, versus if you make yourself a rule like, I'm not going to dwell on this. I'm going to learn, move on. Learn, move on. Can I fix that? No, I can't. What's the point wasting my 24 hours of this beautiful day on dwelling of the past? I will make mistake, 100%, but I'm going to forgive myself. It's not like I'm going to be automatically forgiving myself, but I'm doing my best. And that's fourth principle of the four agreements. I'm doing my best. And when you tell people, like, say, like, somebody, relationship is not working out, if you say, you know what, I know you're doing your best, and I'm doing my best, but this is not working out. How can we do better? And I have this conversation with my son, too, like, darling, this is not working out for me. How can we do better? You're doing your best, I know. I'm doing my best, but this is not working out for me. Maybe it's working out for you, but it's not working out for me. How can we do it better? And guess what? It changes because you're being authentic. You're recognizing and acknowledging that he or she is doing their best. There's so much gap in perspective and, you know, privileges and all that. And so you just kind of show your compassion. Like, I'm understanding that you're doing your best. I'm doing my best, but this is not working out.
How can we do it better?
I think in leadership as well, like, it's so important to be self-aware, because like, I am influential because I have authority and power, but if you're showing you're being a jerk, people will be like, okay, I have to be kind of passive-aggressive around this person because I am dependent on that person, right? So self-awareness is equal to leadership. Like, man, like, all the women that you interviewed said the same thing, like, here again. So yeah,
hey, that must be who I love. Like, I'm so attracted to people who are self-aware. I think that must be what it is for me, because I'm picking these people to interview. Like, I'm picking them. Like, mm-hmm. They're being brought to me, but I'm choosing. I'm saying, oh, I want to talk with you more. And I'm always going, well, what is the common thread running through all these women? But it must be that self-awareness piece. I'm really attracted to it because either I'm like it or I want to be it, which are both great.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I'm trying to become more self-aware, that's why I want to be around you and other women like you, or I already am. Either way, winning, right? Like, I feel like if you are on the path to something positive, or if you've already, I mean, you're always going to be growing on that path. So you're already there in some sense, and you're always moving forward.
And for anyone who wants to transform their lives, like, I highly recommend this book called Four Agreements. And it's such a short book. But like I put that on my board at work, like, do not take anyone personally. Do not assume. And that's so important. Do not assume. And do my best. And be impeccable with my words. And that's been so transformational for me. The second book I highly, highly recommend, Money Loves You. Love Money, Money Loves You. It's been incredible because it is showing, the author is showing, like, we got it so like mixed up, because money is saying, listen, I understand why you hate me, because you hate your own kids, even. Like, how you treat your kids. How we treat our kids is, like, so, like, we want them, like, 18 years old, done. You have to be adult. But they're not.
They're not. And it's all about us. It's not about them. Yeah. All these things, money and our kids, how we're treating things, that's about us. It has nothing to do with the thing.
Yeah.
Money is so beautiful. I think you changed my life with that book by sharing that with me. I've shared it with so many people. But what is the next one? Because I feel like you're going to tell me those two books, but was there another?
I think just kind of self-developing yourself and also growing, and most importantly, like, value your body, because your body is the best friend you got.
Yeah.
Because without your body functioning 100%, you're not functioning 100%. You know what I mean?
And I think we are at our time now to end. But I want to say something with the body. I want to combine a few things you've said. So how you speak matters, and the words you choose matter.
Words.
And I want everyone to just take a minute to think about the words that they use when they're speaking about their body, and how much more intentional and beautiful can we get when we are using words towards our body. And I think that would be a great note to leave here, because there's so many businesses and people who really listen, I love profit and making money, so I'm not saying that that's wrong, but I think there's a lot of businesses that profit off of us not loving ourselves and our bodies. And let's use powerful words that are beautiful towards our bodies and celebrate.
Yeah.
And see how that changes us and even the systems and the culture around us.
Yeah. Words are so important, because marketing, for example, strategy. Why strategy? And you know, recently I learned strategy came from war language. The dean of the business school was doing the TED talk. And she told, like, she's an expert in marketing. And she was saying, I did this research and the strategy, all this war language in business came from the fact that way back after the Second World War or First World War, it was given to veterans who came from war. And so they made businesses war, like war language, strategy, tactic. Talk about love relationship. Like, that's business is all about love.
And business setting and growth, yeah, and beauty.
Business is divine. Yes. Because you're providing work, you're providing service, you're exchanging your work with money or service or
an exchange of energy with someone else
to
care about.
And again, back to feminine energy, nurturing relationship, nurturing business relationship. And so I think words are so important.
Well, we're going to leave it with words today, and we will definitely have Kira on again, because I know that we did not get to everything we wanted to talk about, but we did do really well. I feel like we did amazing.
Thank you so much, Tami. I am so, you know, when I see you, I just want to celebrate you.
I know, you're so good to me, Kira.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome. I love you.
I love you too.